Well, good morning, everybody. And this morning we continue with the parables of Jesus. We have just heard those two parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin. I think you will realize as you listen to them, both have similar points, similar meanings. And put really simple and in a nutshell, God searches for the lost. And then when found based upon repentance, there is rejoicing in heaven. Well, that's not much of a message, is it? So let's look a bit deeper and let's see what they would say to us. Let's see what the parables would teach us this morning. For those who have already looked on, you will see that there's a third parable, the parable of the lost son, the prodigal son. Well, that's for next time, because there is subtle differences in that parable that I want to bring out at the next time I give a message. Anyway, the context of this parable is that the Pharisees were complaining that Jesus mixed with tax collectors and sinners. In fact, these people who the Pharisees and teachers of the law looked down on were gathering in big crowds to listen to Jesus. The tax collectors who worked for the Romans, collecting their taxes off Jewish people. And yet they were there to listen to Jesus. The sinners who the Pharisees and the teachers of the law looked down upon because of their lifestyle, because they weren't religious or because they just didn't meet the standards that they had set for them. These are the people that are gathered round in a crowd to listen to Jesus. You had the tax collectors. You had who they classified as sinners, the outcasts, the despised. You had the Pharisees. You had the teachers of the law. What a crowd that had gathered to listen to Jesus. And so why had Jesus told the parable of the lost son and the lost coin and the lost sheep? He wanted to correct their ideas of God. He wanted to correct how they viewed God. He wanted to correct how God looked down and saw them. See, in this parable, God is shown to care, to be concerned, to love. And there is a longing to have fellowship with people, to have relationship with people. So much so that when just one person repents, there is joy and rejoicing in heaven. We should not be surprised, because this is the character of Jesus. This is his mission. It says in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Seek and to save is his mission statement. To seek and to save that which is lost. That's why Jesus came. Well, the word lost appears a lot, doesn't it, in both parables? And I was thinking in the week, what does it mean to be lost? Think maybe of yourself as a child, or maybe as a parent, losing a child in the supermarket, or you're that child lost in the supermarket. You just wandered off and then you look round and you can't see your parents. And your parents look round and you're not there, and panic and fear set in. Jesus is looking for the lost. And sometimes, you know, you can be lost in that supermarket. You can be that parent and not realizing the situation, not realizing the seriousness of being lost. And so many people today live their lives and they are lost. They have no relationship with Abba Father. They have no heart to follow him, or no heart to know his word, no heart to know his commands, and they are truly lost, just as a child is lost in a supermarket, except they're not realizing their situation, not realizing that there is one looking for them. You know, so what do you do in life Have you ever been in that position where you can't find your car keys, or you can't find that document, or you just can't find something you're looking for? I know sometimes people might turn their house upside down just to find what they have lost. Maybe sometimes it has sentimental value, like a wedding ring or something like that. And you do everything you can to find that which is lost. I want you to know this morning that that is how God views sinners. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law would not like this definition, that God viewed sinners so much, with so much love, that he sent Jesus to seek and to save that which is lost. And he wanted those sinners and tax collectors to know that when he talked about the coin, when he talked about the sheep, he was talking about them, that they were the lost, that Jesus had came to find and to save. Isn't that wonderful? You see, this is a story that Jesus gave to show people the love of God. How he wanted to correct the views that people held about God. You see, the sinner and the tax collector might have viewed God as being angry with them, not wanting anything to do with them, would keep them out of his presence. And the tax collector would think, that's right. The Pharisees and teachers of the law would say, that's right. That's how God views you. You're unworthy, you're unrighteous, you break the law. He wants nothing to do with you. And yet Jesus is saying, just like the shepherd, just like the woman with the coin, that's how my Father loves you and wants to find you and will seek you out. Isn't that a wonderful picture? You know, I was prompted to look up the word lost in a Greek dictionary, and I tell you what, I was amazed and astounded how very popular verses have the same Greek word we have in these parables, lost, but it's translated differently elsewhere. It doesn't say lost, it says perish or destroy. And I want to look at a couple of those verses right now, because I think that will bring out something of these parables. Let's start with one I know is so well known, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, that's well known, isn't it? That's such a well-known verse. Let me read it. And I've not changed, and this is the same Greek word that's used in the parables. And if it was translated the same, it would say this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not be lost, but have everlasting life. Isn't that? Just puts a slightly different emphasis, because we don't really understand perish. We might think of some fruit and vegetable that's perishing in the fridge, decaying or becoming ruined. We might think of perishing as life coming to an end. But if we use the word lost, it opens this picture of God saying that if you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life, you're not lost. And that's the point of these parables. That God wants you to come into faith through repentance and believing on Jesus so that you won't be lost. I did check several translations, and about 50, only one uses the word lost. But the Amplified does actually put it in brackets. It says this, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, that is, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? God so loved the world. God so loved those who are sinners. God so loved the world who were tax collectors. God so loved the world that while we were still dead in our sins, he sent Jesus Christ so that we might not be lost, but have everlasting life. It says in Luke 13, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish. And he said it again, I tell you, unless you repent, you too will all perish. I think you will caught up by now. It's the same Greek word for lost. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Unless you repent, you will be lost. Do you see what happens if you put these scriptures together? Jesus is seeking those who are lost. God loved the world that he sent Jesus so that they could believe on him, so they could have everlasting life. And in the parables, both parables, Jesus says, this is like those who repent. And that's not something we hear very often, is it? Repentance. And I'll say something about that in a little bit longer. Let me give you another one. John 10:28. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Oh, it's the same word. It's the same word. Let's just look at it then. I give them eternal life, and they shall never be lost. No one can snatch them out of my hand. What a thought. You was lost, but now you are found. You've repented and believed. You received eternal life. I want to say that God is so, in a sense, committed to you. We looked at this the other week, didn't we, where he says, I will complete that good work that he started in you. There he says, no one can snatch you out of my hand. I want you to get the heart of the Father this morning. How he sees the sinner, how he sees the tax collector, how he saw you and me. He didn't write any of us off. But he so loved the world, he so loved you and me that he gave Jesus that we might not be lost, that we might be adopted into his family, that we might be made joint heirs with Christ, that we might be able to cry, Abba, Father. And you know, sometimes we need to realize that we were lost, and he came, and through repentance and belief, we have eternal life. And I want to ask the question this morning, have you ever repented? Have you ever changed your mind? Have you ever changed direction? Have you ever seen what the sin in your life caused God, and yet he still loved you? You know, I've told this story before, that I thought you had to have a decision card when you became born again, a believer, a follower of Jesus. And so I kept going from church to church and taking the altar call until at last I got my decision card. I want to say a decision card does not cause rejoicing in heaven. A decision card of putting your hand up in a service does not cause heaven to rejoice. Just to say I follow Jesus, just to say I believe in him, just to say that Jesus is Savior, that Jesus is Lord, does not cause a rejoicing in heaven. What causes rejoicing in heaven is repentance. And that's what we need, is repentance. You see, people might even know that they, in the eyes of God, are sinners, that they've wronged him. And they might have this view of God, that God is not that concerned with their sin, that God is not bothered with their sin, and they really don't need to repent. There's no joy in heaven unless there is repentance. You see, these parables correct our ideas of God. If we see God as angry and that he sent Jesus to satisfy his anger, that's wrong, because it says, for God so loved the world. But if we view God that sin doesn't matter, we don't need to repent, that's a wrong view as well. Because Jesus is saying that there is joy in heaven when the sinner repents. So he's telling the tax collector, he is telling the sinners that God loves them, that God will seek them, God will find them. And if they repent, not only do they have eternal life by believing in Jesus, but there's rejoicing in heaven. Let me give you another verse, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. There again, we've got the two, perish and repentance. And yes, the word perish is lost. And what Peter is saying by the Holy Spirit is this. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to be lost, but everyone to come to repentance. He doesn't want anyone to be lost, but to come into a relationship with the living God through repenting and believing in Jesus Christ to have eternal life. And friends, we need to see this morning the heart of God, and we need to view sinners and tax collectors like Jesus did, like Father God does, that they that they are lost and need to be found. Do you feel lost this morning? Are you in a relationship with Abba Father? Because that's what these parables are about. If you've been a believer for years and years and years, and you feel a bit lost and things aren't what they should be, then the parable of the lost son is for you next time. Because that's about people who've been found, and if it were, got lost again. So we need to have that other side of the coin next time. But for this morning, it's these two parables where he's talking about those for the first time through repentance come to know Jesus Christ, have a fellowship with God the Father, and there is rejoicing. There is rejoicing in heaven. I want to give you another one. The thief comes, Jesus says, and this is in the parable, this is in the story of the Good Shepherd. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. In there is the word for lost. In there is the same Greek word for lost. Did you get it? Did you see it? Do you know which one it is? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy as lost. You see, I've always wondered, what's the difference between killing and destroying? The thief, the enemy, he wants to, if he could, destroy, make you lost again. Make you not think that sin is serious. To make you think that you don't have to pray, you don't have to read your Bible, you don't have to have a fellowship with one another, you don't have to have a communication with your loving Heavenly Father. He will do everything he can in his power to keep you in church, yes. To keep you in house groups, yes. But in reality, he wants to make you lost, and he'll lie to you until suddenly, gradually, slowly, it's built up upon you and you're lost. But you see, Jesus doesn't want you lost. He wants you found. He wants you to have life, and life everlasting, and life eternal, and life in its fullness. But the enemy wants you lost, and he wants you to stay lost. And even if you repent and come to him, he will do everything he can, like he did with that lost son, the prodigal son, to get that person lost again. That's next time. But for this morning, I want you to know there's an enemy that if he could, he wants you to be lost and remain lost. Oh, shall we have another one? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are lost. You know what this says to me? The Holy Spirit is needed. You see, the Holy Spirit is needed to see what the consequence and the penalty of sin is. That's why if we just preach the cross, if we just tell them about the cross, it's foolishness to the lost. But when the Holy Spirit convicts of sin and of righteousness and of a judgment to come, it makes the difference. And you might say, well, did the parables teach the Holy Spirit doing this? Oh, yes. Did you see in the parable of the coin? That woman would have been given 10 coins. That was her life savings. And it's quite a common practice that they would have 10 coins, these ladies in Jesus' time. And she lost one. And what did she do? She got a lamp and she lit it. She got a broom and she swept the floor. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Word of God. The light is a lamp unto my feet. The Holy Spirit lights up the things you've done which needs repentance. The sweeping causes a disturbance on the floor. It sort of separates the dirt that was on the floor. I see that as the work of the Holy Spirit. And when God wants to seek out through Christ those who are lost, the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. He's the light, he's the broom. That's why the message of cross is foolishness for those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God to those who are lost. But when the Holy Spirit has done his work, the message of the cross will bring repentance, believing in Jesus, eternal life. The lost is found, and there is rejoicing in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? You see, if you're lost this morning, Jesus is looking for you. So what's this all about? What's this parables all about this morning? Look at John 4:23. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipper the Father seeks. Why does he want you found? Why does he want the lost found? Why does he want the lost to believe in Jesus and have eternal life? Why does he want the message of the cross to be understood? Why does he want Jesus by the Spirit to be revealed to the lost so that they can worship him in spirit and in truth? You see, we think the aim of the message, or the purpose of the message, is for the lost to get saved, for the lost to repent, for there to be rejoicing in heaven. But God wants us to worship him. And he's seeking people to worship him in spirit and in truth. And how are you going to get to that place? How are you going to get into that place where you can worship in spirit and in truth? But by being found, by believing, by repenting, by having the Holy Spirit reveal and convict you so that you can worship in spirit and in truth. That's the aim of God in finding you, that you might worship him. I've said this before. Heaven doesn't rejoice over those who make decisions. Its rejoicing is for sinners who repent. You see, in both of these parables, there is joy. There is a rejoicing in heaven. Friends, we are his ambassadors. We are to be fishers of men. We have been entrusted with the gospel to go and seek the lost, those whose lives are being destroyed, those whose lives are perishing by the enemy. You see, the shepherd did not concentrate on the 99 safe in the fold, but went after the one lost sheep. The woman wasn't content with her 9 coins, but she searched for the one that was missing. Father God, we need to have your heart concerning the lost. You see, it might be easy to understand God-forgiven sinners who had come to him for mercy, but a God who searches for sinners and then joyfully forgives them. Oh, what love! Oh, what compassion! This love prompted Jesus to come to earth to search for lost people and to save them. What a love! What a wonderful, powerful love that God has for you and for me. That through repentance, through believing, through having eternal life, not only is there a party in heaven, not only is there a joy in heaven, but we become worshippers in spirit and in truth. And that is the people that God is seeking for. Amen.